That's Larry Adler on harmonica. Adler, according to his memoirs, had a love affair with Ingrid Bergman, smoked a little weed with Dizzy Gillespie, and hung out with George and Ira, Gershwin, that is. What was his claim to such fame? He played, artfully, a very ordinary instrument with utter, single-minded conviction. He was always mastering new techniques on what he called the mouth organ. But his friend and fellow harmonica virtuoso, Robert Bonfilio, says it was more than mere skill. It was the emotion.
Adler and I discussed this. It's as close to the voice as you're going to get. Because the thing is actually in your mouth. It's the closest instrument to your brain other than the voice that when you play it.
And he had a particular way of playing.
No question. I used to call it, you know, the Adlerisms. He would use that throat vibrato. That kind of a sound. He liked that for the popular music and for classical music as well.
Larry Adler was born in 1914 in Baltimore, a poor kid who picked up a harmonica, and by 10 he'd won a state competition by playing a Beethoven minuet, no less. From then on, he was hooked. By age 14, he was in New York playing in the Ziegfeld Follies. But he played every kind of music in his own arrangements. By the 30s, he was playing on stage alongside Count Basie and Duke Ellington. And where else would he have been in the 40s but Hollywood, with June Allison and the gang?
Oh, Larry Adler's back. Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hey, how are the rhythm girls tonight?
The movies loved his wiry energy and his music.
Feel like Claire de Lune, fellas?
Anything you say, Larry.
Good, thank you.
But Adler had always had politically progressive tendencies. Just at the dawn of the McCarthy era, he teamed up with dancer Paul Draper and did a series of events with so-called questionable organizations. That's when some crusading accusers on the right declared Adler and Draper pro-communist in sympathy.
And that's where McCarthy came after him. I mean, he was really doing very well with his career before that happened, and all of a sudden it put the slammer on it.
Adler said a few words about it at a performance much later in Australia.
I was being blacklisted in America at the time. Anybody remotely left-wing was blacklisted, and I was suspected of wanting to overthrow the U.S. government with a chromatic mouth organ.
So he fell briefly and remarkably, rose again when he took off and settled overseas in 1949.
When I was first on the scene in the late 50s, Larry Adler was already very well known indeed as a resident London virtuoso, a star, a celebrity.
Author, broadcaster, and producer Humphrey Burton.
He sort of invented the harmonica in terms of playing in public in concert venues. It was something that soldiers had in their knapsacks during the war.
And then something incredible happened. Once across the Atlantic, Adler hooked up with the great British and European composers of the day, Darius Milhaud, Vaughan Williams, Malcolm Arnold, and they all wrote for him, with full orchestra.
He promoted it from being a sort of ordinary entertainment instrument into being high art as well.
And it was also a particular moment in England. Larry Adler, by accident, fleeing from his own country, caught the moment in a place that didn't much care about his politics.
The atmosphere in the 50s was one of freedom. At last, the war was over, and we could let things hang out a bit more. And he himself had such a joyous approach to music making. The rules and rationing and all those things were all gone. And Larry was part of the feel-good era, I suppose that's one way of putting it.
Part of that era over there was a film called Genevieve, 1953, a British favorite, about the travels of a vintage car. Adler composed the score, and it became a phenomenon.
Film Genevieve really made one's heart warmer for the watching, and the music was very much part of it. It was jaunty, it was a little bit sentimental, perhaps. Hauntingly beautiful.
Oscar-nominated, and his biggest hit, though not here in America. For a long time, Adler couldn't play in the U.S., and then, after a few decades had passed, he began to turn up, playing a New York concert here and there, appearing on radio or in a club. But Robert Bonfilio says there was something missing.
I can imagine that he did feel that his fame was sort of cut off. I mean, the guy was playing tennis with Charlie Chaplin out in Hollywood, and all of a sudden he's in London and it's Larry Hu, you know. He never got the same fame back.
Adler died in 2001, and he's been somewhat forgotten. What lives on? The Adler sound. And then, too, the fantastic look of what he did.
Spellbinding to watch him.
Hands flapping, curling. Worth taking a look at. Something from another time.
I think Larry Adler, he was a one-off. There won't ever be anyone like him again.
In that little kid from Baltimore, high art, showbiz, politics, and a mouthful, you might say, of music. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.